Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches the last sermon from the book of James with this message entitled, The Ministry of Restoration, preached October the 19th, 2014. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to James chapter 5, verse 19.
Ministry of Restoration. And I will speak 3 points. Church is the family of God. Second, prodigals in God's family. And third, the blessed ministry of restoring the prodigals. We have come to the end of this epistle of James. You are hearing the last sermon in this epistle. Unlike the epistles of Paul and Peter and John, the epistle of James has no greeting or benediction. He ends with a call to action, to a ministry of restoring the prodigals if possible. James told us, beginning with chapter 5, verse 13, if anyone is in trouble, let him pray. If anyone happy, let him sing. If anyone is sick, let him call the elders of his church for prayer. Finally, now, if anyone among you has wandered away from the truth, try to restore him. We are to love the prodigal and, if possible, restore to Christ's church in the will of God. So first, church is the family of God. It is a blessing to belong to a human family. But the greatest blessing is to belong to God's family, the church of the living God. Jesus said, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And he also said in Matthew 10, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And Jesus also said in Luke 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Do you belong to God's holy family, God's church? And if you do, then rejoice, you are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. In James 5:13, James addresses believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ as my brothers. He called them in 1:16, my dear brothers. God's people belong to God's family by adoption in Christ. So we are brothers and sisters if we persevere to the end. Recently you read the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. Paul calls Onesimus a slave as my son. My very heart. This is what happens when God saves us and brings us to His holy church. We are brothers, we are sisters, and so on. And we are to love one another. God is our Heavenly Father, and we are His heirs. And so we love one another. If you don't love God's holy church, the Lord has not added you into His church. So the second point, the prodigals in the family of God. If anyone among you wander away, that is being deceived, wander away from the truth. That tells you what a church is. Church is where truth is preached. The Bible is preached. If anyone among you wander away from the truth, that's what a prodigal is. We receive, as members of the church, everyone who repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is baptized in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are told the Lord Himself adds to His church such as should be saved. So we read in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And Romans 10:9, we read, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." We are interested in hearing credible confession, but we cannot tell whether you are added by Jesus Christ to the church, whether you are born from above. So every church on earth is a mixture of true and false believers. Those who are born of God and those who are only temporary believers, like the seed that fell on the stony ground and the seed that fell among thorns. In due time, their foot shall surely slip and fall into eternal hell. They shall wander away from the truth preached in God's holy church. They follow after the lies of the devil to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little season. They shall not persevere to the end. They are not of those whom the Lord added to the church. Pastor just added, based on credible confession, those who wander away from Jesus and His holy church, where truth is preached, they leave the narrow way leading to eternal life. They leave the highway of holiness, we read in Isaiah 35. They hate the discipline of the Bible. They hate the government of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They hate God's authority, yet they delight in wickedness and being a slave of sin. They hate the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The prodigals belong to two categories. Those who are elect true believers, temporarily living a sinful life of misery, like King David. And those who are non-elect, not regenerated. Their repentance and faith were false. And so, like Esau, Korah, Achan, King Saul, Judas, Ananias and Sapphira, and Demas, they cannot be restored to the truth, to God's church family. King David was restored by the ministry of prophet Nathan. He said, "You are the man." And David agreed and said, "I am the man." So also was the prodigal son, whom God himself brought back. So also Peter, Jesus Christ himself restored him. Yes, it is the duty of the church to seek after the apostates. But it is God who gives them repentance in his own sovereign will. So in Lamentations, the last chapter, verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21, in King James, "Turn us, O Lord, that we may be turned. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure." Or Psalm 80, verse 3, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved." A few may repent and return to the Father's house. But the vast majority of those who left the truth, wandered away from the truth, will not. By serving the devil 24/7, they deny Christ every moment. Thus they perish, sinking deeper into the sinkhole of hell. So we read in Hebrews 6, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back," it is impossible, "brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Hebrews 10, we read this. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who may go after these apostates to restore them? Anyone who has a relationship and a burden for their souls. Believing parents should go after their apostate children, and so on. Yet, the materialist Judas was not converted. He was a thief, we are told, in John 12. He was an apostle, and he preached the gospel commissioned by Jesus. Yet he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was with Jesus and ate the Last Supper. Yet we are told he was possessed by the devil. He found no place for true repentance. He threw away the money. This son of perdition hanged himself and went to hell. So was the apostate Esau and Ananias. They couldn't repent. So we read in Hebrews 12, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears." Or look at Ananias, Acts 5. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. The devil comes to lure people away from the church, from Jesus, and from the truth, from the light. He comes only, friends, to steal, kill, and destroy those who hate truth and hate the Lordship of Jesus Christ exercised in God's holy church. So, listen to these scriptures that you may hear and fear God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil doers. St. John the Apostle tells us in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. 1 Timothy 1:6, some have wandered away from these and turned to mythology, meaningless talk. 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20, holding on to faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 5:15, some have in fact turned away to follow Satan. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy 6:21, which some have professed and so doing have wandered from the faith. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. In 2 Peter 2:15, they have left the correct, straight, right way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog, see, he was a dog in the church. He was a pig in the church, not a child of God. A dog that returns to its vomit, and a pig that is washed immediately goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Jesus said, Matthew 24, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Point number three, the blessed ministry of restoration. I said, anyone led by the Spirit can minister to the prodigals who had left the church to go to a far country to revel in all sorts of sin. I said this before. Anyone who leaves God's holy church leaves to sin. And the restorer, whether father or mother or anyone else, you should tell truth to him or her. he must return to God and his holy church if he truly repents. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Or as we read in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The prodigal hated the father's rule, but he loved his father's money. He left to a far Gentile country to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But in his case, God gave him repentance. God brought about a great famine in that land. So no money, no friends, no job, no food, no house, no clothes, no medicine. Only a lot of misery. Friends, you must pay for your sin. And you will. Now he became very sober. He came to himself, the Bible says. He saw reality. He saw his father's house as it truly is, a place of good things. Father's rule and Father's provision. He came to himself and he came back. Friends, lie keeps you in the far country. Truth brings you back to God and his holy church, where all your needs are met. He came, he confessed, he was forgiven. He was hugged and kissed by the Father. Not as a slave he was received. He was received by the Father as a son. Father gave a party for him. What a joyous celebration. Listen to what Father says. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Parents, pastors, brothers, close friends, go after the prodigals with the love of Jesus, who came to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus is a friend of publicans, prodigals, and sinners. Go after them, not to excuse their sins, but to expose the miseries of a sinful life and to give them hope that they return to Jesus for a joyous reception. Go after the prodigals. Give them an opportunity to repent and return. Unlike what Cain had said about his brother, we are our brother's keepers. So go after those who have been excommunicated from the true church. Go after those who, without warrant, unilaterally and in violation of church covenant, wandered away from the truth to follow doctrinal errors that permits them to live a sinful life. Exhort, admonish, rebuke, correct, and beseech. James exhorts us to do this. This is his final call to action. Friends, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus prayed for him. And we read Luke 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have repented, strengthen your brothers. And Jesus restored Peter, and we read about it in John 21:15 through 19. So we all have this responsibility to seek after the prodigals and, if possible, bring them back. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. 1 Corinthians 10, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Or St. John tells this in 1 John 5. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. So you begin to ask, what is the sin that leads to death? And if that has happened, we cannot help him. And the sin that leads to death, we read in 1 John 4, 2 and 3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. In other words, unbelief in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:11, John says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Without faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot have this eternal life. 1 John 5:20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. So now we know unbelief in Jesus Christ is the sin that leads to eternal death. In chapter 5, verse 20, James exhorts us to realize how blessed, friends, is the ministry of restoring a prodigal. He saves a sinner from eternal death. And two, he covers a multitude of the prodigal's sins committed while wandering from God's holy church and living as a companion of evil doers. So 3 points. Church is the family of God, a family that transcends natural family. There are prodigals in God's family. And the third is the blessed ministry of restoring, if possible, the prodigals. Chapter 5, verse 20, James exhorts us to realize how blessed is the ministry of restoring a prodigal. So James tells us he saves a sinner from eternal death. You better understand the ministry of a pastor, ministry of a brother and sister in Christ. He comes to you for the purpose to save you from eternal death. And then we read, he covers a multitude of the prodigal sins, listen, committed while wandering from God's holy church and living as a companion of evildoers. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And listen, God does not use angels but true believers to turn the prodigals from darkness to the light of the gospel. It must be pointed out that no true church should receive excommunicated members of another Bible-believing church. It is the duty of that church to exhort the prodigals to repent and go back to his own church. If a church accepts these apostates, it proves itself to be a false church, a synagogue of Satan, which preaches a different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel. And the ministers of such churches are described by St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, and Galatians 1, 8 and 9. Let me read to you. For such men, such ministers, are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And let me read to you from Professor J. Adams. He writes this in More Than Redemption. Discipline, when exercised, must be recognized and supported by other pastors and churches, typically in the rare cases in which a church does exercise discipline. It is undermined by other congregations. The disciplined person simply runs down the street to the next evangelical church where he is received. No questions asked. Received with open arms. That practice is wrong, self-defeating, a disgrace to Christ, and must be remedied. And St. Paul tells this in Galatians 1, 8 and 9, if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Most wandering sheep would refuse to repent and be restored, always justifying their false doctrine and wicked life. To them, evil is good and good is evil, as it is in this country right now. So to them, evil is good and good is evil because God has given them over to a depraved mind. If they do not listen to your gospel appeal for repentance, then shake the dust off your feet and move on, as Jesus taught us to do in Matthew 10 and verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. And St. Paul tells us in Acts 18, 5 and 6, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, listen, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Friends, the gospel either saves or condemns. And so 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Same gospel, saves or condemns. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life, and who is equal to such a task? Whoever turns the sinner who wandered away from the truth, that is from the truth preaching church. Church is where truth is preached, not the world. And this is a place where truth is preached. Whoever turns the sinner who wandered away from the truth preaching church from the error of his way shall save his soul from eternal death. Such a person becomes a savior to him. We know that God alone saves, yet he uses us, God's people, to proclaim the gospel that a sinner may repent and believe. So Paul says, we are God's synergoi, fellow workers. God saves and we save. So we read 1 Corinthians 9, 22. "I have become all things to all men, that by all possible means I might save some." And Paul says in Romans 11, 14, "In the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them." And Proverbs 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Every prodigal and unbeliever will experience eternal death in hell. There is a paradise for the followers of Jesus and hell for everyone else. The broad way of unbelief leads to destruction. The unbelieving rich man died and he went to hell, where he was in fire, in torment, and in agony with no exit. We read in Ezekiel 3:18 and 19, "When I say to a wicked man, 'You will surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood." So we have a responsibility to seek and save that which is lost. "For the wages of sin is death." Eternal death, sir. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must therefore do our utmost to save the apostates from eternal death." The ministry of restoration not only saves the sinner from death, we are told it also covers a multitude of sins. This tells us clearly that those who walk away from Christ's holy church and teaching do so to commit a huge heap of sins of various kinds, beginning with sexual immorality, while blaming others, God, church, and especially pastors. Adam says, "God, you are responsible for my sin." Genesis 3:12, the man said, "The woman you put here with me." Blame shifting is the art of the prodigals. "The woman you put here with me," or the man for that matter, "she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." God is responsible first and then the woman. How does the restorer cover the sins of the prodigal? For one thing, he loves this sinner. He prays for him and he seeks him. And in God's will to turn him back to God, his truth, and his holy church, where the word is preached, the two sacraments administered according to God's regulative principle, and biblical discipline strictly administered. It is a ministry of love. So we read in Proverbs 10, verse 12, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs." And Peter said in 1 Peter 4, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Our love to sinners points to the love of God in Christ for sinners. So we read in 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, "Who has saved us and called us to a holy life." We are called to live what, sir? A holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Or Ephesians 5:1 and 2, Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The cross reveals God's great love for us in his Son, for us the elect sinners. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, friends, that covers our mountain of sins. The publican prayed in faith and repentance, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." He was thinking of the golden mercy seat that covered the ark, which was in the Holy of Holies behind the veil. The ark contained the two tables of the Ten Commandments, which the publican continually transgressed. He had a mountain of guilt on Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Covering. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood of the sin offering for the people upon the mercy seat. The teaching, I hope, is very clear. The publican is the sinner. He must be killed. But in his place, a prescribed animal substitute was killed, and its blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. When God, who is above the ark, looks and sees the blood of the substitute, his justice for the violation of his law having been satisfied, he forgives the enormous guilt of this publican. When Jesus died on the cross for the sins of God's elect, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom, making a way to God for all his people who approach the throne of grace in the name of his Son. So we read in Hebrews 10, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Hebrews 10:14, because by one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Chapter 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. The curtain is torn. A new way is opened up for us sinners who approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? Our sins have been forgiven. We are justified. So Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with parousia, confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We are not killed. We are given mercy and grace. Come anytime. Always come in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will find mercy and receive grace. And we need mercy and we need grace. Publican prayed, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner." The blood of bulls and goats was pointing sacramentally to the blood of the Messiah Jesus, our true substitute. For the Bible says Christ died for our sins. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. This love of Jesus covers a mountain of our sins. When our Heavenly Father sees the blood of his Son, the believing sinner receives full forgiveness. He goes home justified and joyful. Friends, the truth is Jesus Christ is our mercy seat, our covering, our propitiation. So we read in Jeremiah 50:20, in those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but none will be found, for I will forgive the remnant I spare. And so David tells us, Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Friends, there is no other Savior. Muhammad cannot save you. Krishna cannot save you. Vishnu cannot save you. Idolatry cannot save you, sir. There is no other Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the whole world. He alone is the mercy seat covered with his own blood. See him on the cross, naked yet covered with his own blood. He is the mercy seat. Father accepted his atoning death because he raised Jesus from the dead. He alone has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light for us through the gospel. He gives us, friends, eternal life. By his death, Jesus destroyed our eternal death. So no death can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, we are eternally secure. He has covered the multitude of our sins, and he will cover the heap of sins of all who repent and turn to him. James told us in 1:16, don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. The devil is the arch deceiver. Saint Peter tells us, be self-controlled and alert, sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, in the truth of the gospel. Friends, be a student of the scripture, student of truth, be informed by the word. Some members of the visible church, having been deceived by demons, leave the right way of the gospel to follow the evil way of Balaam. They are described by Peter this way. Of them the Proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a pig that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. They like it, sir. Everyone who leaves God's holy church goes out into the night to sin. Judas went out and it was night. They like night. They leave the way of Jesus to enjoy the pleasures of sin and be destroyed by the devil. So friends, in conclusion, seek after the prodigals that you may turn the sinner from the error of his own way, that you may save his soul from eternal death to eternal salvation, that God may use you through the gospel to cover his mountain of sins. Number four, that you may be wise in God's estimation. Daniel 12 and verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And finally, that you may receive God's reward. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But also understand this truth. Yet most prodigals, most rebels shall not be restored. So I read from Titus 3, 10 and 11. Warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Heavenly Father, you have told us to take action, to go after the prodigals. Lord, your Son Jesus Christ said he came to seek and save that which is lost. Lord, turn them that they may be turned. We cannot save anyone. We cannot give faith to anyone. We cannot give repentance to anyone. You gave repentance. Lord, mercy and grace are with you. Therefore, O God, take any and every action that people may repent and turn back to God and to his holy church. And help us to obey what James told us to do. And if anyone turns him back, anyone can do it. I pray that parents will go in search of their children who are wandering away from the truth. Brothers may go after brothers. Pastors may go after sheep. Lord, have mercy. Grant prodigals repentance. In Jesus' name, amen.